Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 20 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. If you have any questions or concerns or comments about today's episode, please feel free to reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. On today's episode of the Hockey Strength Podcast, we're going to be talking to Rick Blackadar, who's the strength and conditioning coach for the Providence Friars, who just won the NCAA championship. Actually, a pretty cool story there. They came in as a 15th seed in the entire tournament and came through in the end to win. So great effort by them. We're going to talk to Coach Blackadar and see what the recipe was there and what was special about this group of guys. Don't forget, we're about 2 weeks away from the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic coming up on May 9th at Eastern Michigan University. If you missed any of the speakers for that, we interviewed all of our presenters on Hockey Strength Podcasts episode 13 through 19. So if you missed any of those, you can go back, check them out, get a feel for what the presentations are going to be like, and see if you'd like to join us. You can sign up all the way until the day of the clinic, but just be sure to get in a little bit early. We are limited by the size of our room. So whenever you get a chance and you'd like to register, go to GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com. All right, before we get started with Coach Blackadar, we're going to talk a little bit about HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. It's the web's greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning information, complete with material from the top NHL, collegiate, and private strength coaches. At HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you'll find hundreds of articles, videos, programs, and webinars, all geared towards improving the performance of hockey players. So whether you're a strength and conditioning professional, motivated player, youth coach, or hockey parent, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is the only training resource you'll ever need to produce healthier, stronger, more effective players at any level. New articles, videos, and programs are posted weekly, along with periodic podcasts and webinars, and all of our coaches weigh in on the ongoing forum discussions. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. You'll be able to check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or they can answer your questions directly in the forum. We know you're going to love the content, but if you're not completely happy with it, simply cancel your trial membership and you'll be out just a buck. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be a member for just $14.95 a month, or you can sign up for the year for just $149. It's basically receiving 2 months free. Either option's a great bargain for so much material from the nation's top coaches, so don't miss your chance to be a part of the community. All right, we hope you enjoyed today's conversation with Rick Blackadar, strength and conditioning coach for the Providence Friars, the new NCAA champion Providence Friars. So we're going to get on the phone with Coach Blackadar and see what the recipe for success was. All right, we're on the phone with newly crowned NCAA champion, strength coach for the ice hockey team at Providence, Rick Blackadar. Rick, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure it's been a wild last week or two here.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm very familiar with your hockey strength conditioning. I think it's a great source of information for all strength coaches out there, and not just hockey strength coaches.
Awesome, thanks. Yeah, we like to try to put good stuff out there for everybody, but obviously we're gonna focus on hockey. Really excited to see you guys win. We know a couple guys on your team, and really excited to see them do so well. I think everybody likes to see a Cinderella story go all the way. Maybe not BU fans, but we're certainly excited to see Providence break through there for their first national championship. And we hope you can kind of talk a little bit about what made this team special and if this was something that you guys believed in from the start, or was it something where, I guess in my mind it would be once you get that draw to be in Providence for the first round there, is that something where it's kind of like, here we go, like this is our chance, or was this a team that you knew from the start would have a good chance at this national championship?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started last summer. We had high expectations going into this season. We knew we had some of the talent to get to where we wanted to go. And it started last summer. We had about 17 to 20 guys back working out, training all summer, here, just with the idea in the back of our head, hey, we got a chance to be really something special this year. When we started off the season, it started rough right from the get-go. We opened up in North Dakota, Ohio State, out in Ohio State, and we won one, split one. Then the next following weekend, we had North Dakota, and as you can imagine, playing out in North Dakota was very tough. And we, at the time, we right off the bat, we had two shoulder injuries. So as a strength coach, as you know, you start looking at your program, oh, man, what did I do wrong? What should I have done right? But we kept going. Along the way, we had a lot of bumps and turns, and, you know, it wasn't always smooth. But we knew after we had lost to UNH to get us eliminated from the Hockey East tournament, if we had the opportunity to get back, we would make the best of it. And all season long, our team was very gritty, and we'd come back. We never got swept all season long. So we had that grit in us, and we also played a tough schedule. So we knew the opportunity was there, and we knew we had it in us. It was just, all right, let's get it going and see what we got.
Yeah, and I think more often than not, you see the teams with the most grit that are able to kind of grind out playoff wins like that. And I think that's one of the coolest things in the sport of hockey, where sometimes it's just grit and determination, not necessarily skill, that's going to make the best team in the end. So tell us a little bit, we talked a little bit about the team and how the mentality of the team sort of propelled you guys through the playoffs there, through a tough draw. Tell us a little bit about the training. You mentioned you started last summer with a good group of guys back. I mean, that's a great turnout for a summer program. So tell us a little bit about where you guys started in the summer and how your training progressed as the year went along.
Yeah, like I said, we got about 17 to 20 guys from last summer. And the way we train really is a reflection on Coach Lehman's his philosophies and what he wants the program to go and do. We really, essentially, we attack the weights. Coach Lehman has a mindset of how he wants our guys to look, how strong he wants them to look. And we don't get too creative and too many crazy exercises. You hear a lot of programs going single leg, but all season long, we continued with the double leg, front squatting. We didn't get into too many single legs. I mean, a little bit here and there if we had some time. But we really stuck to the meat and the potatoes of the workouts. And, again, we kept going straight ahead. We never stopped. There was no time during the season where we started a crazy taper. We just kind of stuck to our process, our program. And it started last summer, and it ended about a week, 2 weeks ago for us. And again, the program is really set up as a reflection of what Coach Lehman wants, because I'm in constant contact with Coach. And as you know, what Coach wants, Coach gets. So that's what we get. I mean, you would come in here to this weight room and be like, well, you know, what are we doing here? You know, if you've never seen it, it's not so much hockey specific. You might hear that term all the time. But it's definitely strength specific, and that's what Coach Lehman wants.
Absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned it's Coach Lehman, what's his background in terms of strength and conditioning, or is he just he says, I want my guys strong, and that's kind of the bottom line?
Well, I believe when Coach Lehman was at Union College, he did a lot of the strength and conditioning work himself. So he has a background in it, and we have spoken in the past. He's a big Charles Poliquin fan, and he's mentioned different names during our talks together. So he definitely has a background in it. I know he loves it. He's a passion for the strength and conditioning end of what we do. How specific, I don't know. We've never gone head to head talking about sets, reps, and intensity, and this, physiologically. But he definitely has a background in it, and he knows what he wants.
Gotcha. So is that a situation where you feel like you can, interject things for him? You know, I think as a strength coach, you're it's your expertise and it's your position. I mean, do you feel like there are things that maybe you would butt heads with, or, you know, obviously he's going to be the boss and it's his program to run and everything. Do you feel like you're in agreement with what he wants done with the guys?
Absolutely. I mean, yes and no. I mean, if I disagree with something coach will say, I will explain it to him exactly why. And you know, if necessary, I'll say, all right, well, this is why. I'll show him. And actually, as I'm putting together my summer program now, I'm going to send him an email sometime probably at the end of this week saying, all right, this is why we're going to do this right now, coach, instead of this. And this is why we're going to do that. Because Coach Williams is a very smart man, articulate guy who, you know, if you explain it to him and it makes sense and there's science behind it, he'll listen and he'll take it in. But if, you know, if I'm just making up stuff going on just because, you can imagine how far that's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the hallmark of a great working relationship where, you know, you can tell kind of why he's had the success that he's had 2 years in a row here, or I guess in recent times, I guess. You know,
yeah, he really is a great
coach.
He's
willing to take feedback like that, yeah. If he's willing to take feedback, I mean, that's a sign of a true professional. You mentioned the shoulder injuries in the beginning of the season. Were there any other kind of hiccups where you really felt like you were having to drive the guys, or you really felt like energy was down or limited more than could be expected in the middle of a season? I mean, were there times where you were really having to push guys or to change the programming based on their energy levels?
You know, with our guys, I felt as though that our best training sessions were always first thing in the morning, where they were still half asleep, where they couldn't get too goofy. The most difficult times I had with our guys was when they were coming right off the ice, when they were ready to roll, but at the same time it could get a little chaotic and a little goofy in here. I would say mid semester around Christmas time is when the guys were getting a little fatigued, a little tired, we were a little banged up then. And I wouldn't say I tapered the workouts, but I definitely modified what we were doing as far as intensity and volume levels. Just keep it in mind that the coach was still pushing them and working them the whole time. So I, you know, the benefit of, you know, being down the rink and seeing all these practices, I can see exactly what coach is doing. So it was probably around the mid semester, around Christmas time, or I guess it would come to the end of the semester, where I changed it up slightly. But again, like I said before, we really stayed the course all year, and we didn't change too much. I might have thrown in a couple things here and there as a curveball just to change it up, but we stayed the course throughout the year.
And I think that's kind of an important part too, is, you know, you have your Joe Maher from Michigan is going to be at the clinic. He's going to be talking about the yearly plan. And I think that's, kind of a standard for the collegiate coaches where you have a yearly plan where you have, kind of penciled in what we want to focus on and what you're going to do throughout the season. But, I think it's a great read, on the coach's part when you have to change something up or, you know, something's just not happening or guys are dragging, need a little boost. Is that something that you had to work in throughout the year?
Yeah, I mean, you want to believe in what you're doing, first of all. And I really do believe in what I do. But I have to be smart. I have to be smart. And I have to realize that some players, it's not always going to be as effective. Or some guys are more fatigued than other guys. So I have to be smart about it. Believe in your program. Believe in what you have to do. But at the end of the day, you got to realize that you might need to change it up here and there. And in this case, we, you know, like I said, we modified the program a little more in the midseason, just to keep us fresh. And as we got closer and closer to the end, you know, I modified a little bit more. And, but we never, like, we were very consistent throughout the year. We didn't get too crazy and just stop. I've heard of coaches do that, where they just stop what they're doing. To me, that's ridiculous. You know, you got to keep going. You got to stay strong. The main thing with me is you got to keep strong in the season. And I've heard other coaches say, you know, we've got to keep the core and this and that. But I understand where they're coming from. But to me, at the end of the day, if you're not strong and ready to compete, that's when you're not going to be ready to roll at the end. And I think that's where we were. What happened with us is we were still very strong at the end, and we competed like hell at the end, and we were, you know, fortunate enough to win the national championship.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, what an experience for those guys. Rick, take us through, you know, maybe a workout in early fall, you know, as the team gets back together. Take us through one of those workouts, maybe what it would look like, and then how that would compare to something in, say, beginning of March.
When we get back, I'll usually start prehab exercises. I picked up that term from Michael Boyle, where I'm just trying to try to activate certain muscles such as glutes. I'm trying to wake up my scap stabilizers, get them going. Those are really the first things I'll do prior to even pick up a weight, and those involve band work and different types of motions and exercises just to really get the activation going. After that, we'll go right to a power exercise, and it can involve anything from a hang clean to med ball throws, and I'll vary that from workout to workout. Next on the line is the front squats. So, you know, I've always squatted. For years I back squatted, but I've changed that in the last couple of years only because of the epidemic of back injuries, and I've really focused on the front squat. After front squats, we'll mix in, depending upon the schedule of the week, we can mix in another lower body or an upper body drill. Emphasizing, if it's another lower body drill, I'll emphasize more of the posterior chain. And then if it's upper body, I might just throw a muscle drill in for them just to keep the guys happy. I mean, I have guys coming in today who I'm watching them right now as they're out in the weight room. They just coming in, they want to bench press, and that's fine. You know, to me, I know a lot of programs won't even do it nowadays, but I do it just for the competition factor. These guys love it. They like to prove who's stronger in the bench press, and if it keeps the team morale going, I'm fine with that. So I'll keep it in the program. Then I'll throw a lot of wrist work, forearm work, core. Sometimes I'll mix the core in at the very end, or I'll mix it in within the workouts. I do a lot of stabilization drills. I try not to get too crazy with the new fad core drills you see out there, but I keep it simple with just a lot of plank movements for both for the shoulders and for the actual core. So that's pretty much it. Just throw it at you there.
And would you say that that's kind of the same at the beginning of the season as it is towards the end, or does the focus switch a little bit? Maybe you take a little more time in the prehab exercises and that kind of stuff, depending on the schedule, or does it stay relatively, relatively consistent throughout the year?
It stays pretty consistent. If these guys are coming off the ice, like I said before, I might knock out some of the glute activation drills only because they've already been out there, and how effective it is to get the glutes firing. If they're not firing by then, I don't know. Sometimes I'll keep them right in. I really, after my scare early on, as far as with the shoulders, and we had two shoulders right off the bat in the North Dakota weekend early on, I never stopped it. You know, I became very paranoid. I don't want any more shoulder injuries. So we kept those going all through the season. And then I modified everything. I really kept it three basic, you know, heavy exercises. And what I mean by heavy is like our main exercises. And after that, just a couple of managed stuff, mostly actual core footwork, and then, well, get them out. I try not to keep them in here longer than 30 minutes in season. I really try to, because I know coach really pushes them, and they'll come in here gassed at times, you know, goofy but gassed. And, you know, I just want to get them in, get them out, and let them go eat, sleep, do their schoolwork, whatever they need to do.
Yeah, that I was just going to ask too. Are you involved with the on ice conditioning at all, or does Coach Lehman have a pretty good hold of that?
Yeah, Coach Lehman loves that. He does that all himself. I would do it if he wanted me to, but he really enjoys it. Like I said before, he's a, you know, he's a fan of strength conditioning. So he does his thing, and I've watched it. It's very effective. He does a very good job at it. So I don't even put my 2 cents in. I usually just zip my lip and watch.
Right. Do you have a hockey background, Rick? I know you're from the Boston area, but were you involved in hockey before this?
Yes, growing up I played hockey, but I was never past high school. Yeah, never past high school. I actually, my true skill was I became a wrestler. As I got older, I started wrestling, I was pretty good at wrestling, so that's where I kept on going from there. My actual hockey background in this field was started with Michael Boyle, though. I mean, if you want to get real technical how I ended up on this end of it, Michael Boyle brought me into the field back in, I want to say, 1995-ish, in his original facility up in Burlington, Massachusetts, and I learned from Mike. So, started with Mike, and then I was very fortunate through the years to work with and be with some great strength coaches, Rusty Jones up at Buffalo Bills, Bob Otrondo, who's out of UMass, Kenny White, who I work with now, and, you know, the godfather, Michael Boyle. So, you know, I've been very fortunate, the people I've been able to learn from.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we follow a lot of Boyle stuff here too. Daryl is, Daryl's a former intern as well, of Coach Boyle. So we're pretty heavily influenced by that. I think he's doing a great job educating and definitely making himself known to our community and the CrossFit community.
Yeah. I mean, as Mike is great as, strength coach as he is, he's a better person. And he's someone when I ever have a question, it doesn't even have to be strength condition. I know I can call him and he'll get right back to me no matter how busy he is. And he's very busy. So.
Yeah, it is impressive how he operates that way.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Well, Rick, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. Congratulations to you again. I know it takes a really special group of guys to win an NCAA championship. You don't win a championship without a really, really solid team. So it must have been quite an experience for you, quite an experience for the team, and congratulations to you guys, and hopefully you can continue that success next year.
I appreciate it. I appreciate your time, Brian. Yep, it's the tough part is now we got to get going and get back in that tournament next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Tough work ahead, but I think the guys now know what it takes to win. So you got a leg up there.
We'll try. We'll keep competing. That's all we can do.
All right. Good deal. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and get back to those guys and help them out there, you know, with the bench press competition. See how it goes.
Yeah, I'm watching them now. They're doing something crazy. I'm just shaking my head right now as you speak.
All right. Well, thanks again, and good luck in the future. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate your time.
You got it. Bye-bye. All right, that's going to do it for episode 20 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. We thank Rick Blackadar for joining us. Now that the dust has settled there in Providence, we're happy he was able to talk to us about this very special Providence Friars team. All right, so congratulations to those guys. If you haven't checked it out yet, check out the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic. It's on May 9th. All the information is at greatlakeshockeystrength.com. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me. And we're looking for a great turnout at the very first Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic. That's going to do it for episode 20. We appreciate you joining us. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com for the web's greatest articles, videos, and programs for training hockey players. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.